Having been in Isaiah in a few weeks, let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 21. That's where we had gotten to, so we want to turn there tonight, Isaiah chapter number 21. And you pray for me, and I'll try to share with you what the Lord has given me this evening. And I appreciate what the Lord has done, amen. He is a wonderful God, amen. And I love Him tonight, and I'm glad He's allowed us to come together tonight to be here. I know we're a few in number, but we've come to worship, amen. And we've come to glean from the Scripture. We've come to learn from the Word of God, what God has for us tonight. So let's just give our undivided attention to Him and see what He has to say to us. Amen. I hope this will help you tonight. Isaiah chapter number 21, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "The burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sign thereof I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pags have taken hold upon me as the pags of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried a lion, My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor. That which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma, he calleth me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh, also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come. The burden upon Arabia, in the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge. O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. Sorry about that. Stumbled over that. Verse 14. The inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Within a year, according to the years of the hireling, all the glory of cedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of cedar, shall be diminished. For the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it. Let's read the entire chapter of Isaiah chapter 21. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege to be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your grace and Lord, for your mercy, and I pray, Lord, you illuminate my mind, guard my lips tonight. Father, help me to say only that, Father, that is necessary, needful in this hour. And I pray, God, that you would charge us and challenge us from the Scriptures tonight. And I pray, Lord, your will be accomplished, your will be done. Help us, Lord, to go away from here tonight, say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your many blessings. Now I pray that you'd have your will and way in the service. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. As we begin to look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 21, first of all, I want you to understand, in chapter 21, verse number 1, the Bible says, the burden of the desert of the sea. Now, if you go back to chapter 13, chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah, we've already discussed the burden of Babylon. But here again, the Bible is dealing with, and the vision given to Isaiah is another dealing with the nation of Babylon. Chapter 21 deals with three different nations. It deals, first of all, with Babylon. It deals with Duma, or Edom, if you would. And it also deals with Arabia. there's three different nations that's being dealt with, and God has given a vision and given the words to Isaiah and commanded him to go forth and preach, to go forth and tell of the judgment to come. But it starts off with the burden of the desert of the sea. Why did the Bible say that? Why is it worded that way? Well, because Babylon's location was in a desert area and the Euphrates River ran past it. It ran by it. So the desert of the sea is dealing with and talking about Babylon. Now, Babylon, as you know, at this time, when Isaiah is writing, Babylon was not an enemy to Israel. Babylon wasn't always an enemy to Israel, all right? I hope you know that, understand that. And at this point in the writing, in Isaiah's writing, Babylon was not an enemy. It was like a friend to Israel. And here God has given Isaiah a message to go preach and to go proclaim. Now, there's a few things I want to point out tonight, if I can, with the help of the Lord. First of all, I want you to see the prophet's command. His command was to go and to tell, and to tell what's going to happen, what you're going to see. The Bible says, as whirlwinds in the south pass through. Now, if you study the history and study the whirlwinds of that area, they were devastating. They were some of the strongest winds and some of the most devastating whirlwinds that would pass through the desert and pass through the land that would literally destroy everything in its path. Here, the Bible says Isaiah is proclaiming and pronouncing the judgment to come upon Babylon is going to be the same as the whirlwinds as they pass through the land. It's going to be devastating. It's going to wipe the place out. Anything that gets in its path, it's going to destroy it. And it says, as it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. Now, that terrible land, I want you to understand tonight where it's talking about and what is happening and who that God is dealing with in this passage of Scripture and how it's going to come to play, how it's going to come about. As we look at this, we see that there's whirlwinds in the south as an analogy that whenever Babylon is destroyed, it is totally wiped out. There's absolutely nothing left. Now, if you remember, we studied in chapter 13, chapter 14, we studied Babylon and the destruction of Babylon and the burden that Isaiah had when he shared that burden. And the Bible told us there that Babylon would be destroyed and Babylon would never rise again. God said it in His Word that Babylon would never, ever be able to rise again. It was going to be so devastated and so destroyed in that land, it would never be able to rise again. Now, we're looking at this and we're thinking, well, here is another passage of Scripture and it's dealing with Babylon. Again, it's just adding to, if you would, what has already been said, that Babylon's going to be destroyed and destroyed in such a way that it'll never be able to rise again. There's a reason for that. I'll get to that in just a minute. But we see the Bible says in verse number 2, a grievous vision is declared unto me. Now, again, Babylon was not an enemy. Babylon was a friend to Israel. And Isaiah here is seeing the destruction and the judgment that's on its way. It's his job as a prophet, as a priest, as a proclaimer, amen, of the Word of God, as the prophet, it's his duty, it's his job to give the people what God's give him, amen. And so now he's seeing this vision, he's hearing from God, and God is saying, this is what I want you to say. A grievous vision, he said, is declared unto me. Why was it grievous? He says, a treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sign thereof have I made to cease. Media and Persia, if you would, is going to be the ones that come in and destroy Babylon. Babylon was not the enemy of Israel, but who was? Assyria. Assyria was their enemy. Assyria was the one that was trying to come in. The king of Assyria, you remember we studied that, was going to destroy them. So we see here that we're looking at this passage of Scripture, and Isaiah's been given a vision that Persia, basically, Media and Persia, they're going to come in and they're going to destroy Babylon. And Isaiah says it's a terrible thing. It's a grievous vision what I've seen. These are my friends. These are maybe our allies that they thought would maybe their allies before Israel was taken into captivity. Now, understand with me tonight, this was prophesied and proclaimed 200 years before the judgment ever took place. All right? And so Isaiah is seeing Babylon as being a friend, as being maybe their allies against the Assyrians. And now God gives him a vision and says, this is what's going to happen. As the whirlwinds come from the south, they're going to destroy it. They're going to totally devastate, wipe out Babylon. And all the armies of the Persian and the Medians are going to come in and they're going to destroy Babylon. He says in verse number 3, therefore my loins filled with pain, pegs have taken hold of me as the pegs of a woman that travaileth, that boweth down the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. Isaiah says, I heard what the Lord said and I seen the vision that He gave, and these are my friends, these are the folks that I've known for years, and God says in His Word, and God says to me to tell them, I'm going to destroy you. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And so it was grievous to him. Not only do we see the prophet's command to proclaim the truth, but we also see the prophet's compassion. Amen? We see the prophet's compassion in this verse of Scripture. Now, I want to say this. He was a man of God, and he had to give the truth. Although it hurt to tell them. Amen? Sometimes it hurts to tell people the truth. Amen? And here he was given the vision, and God said, you tell them that I'm going to destroy, I'm going to wipe it out. And it was grievous to him. He said it was like a woman in travail. My heart, the Bible says in verse 4, panted, and fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure had turned into fear unto me. So we see not only his command to preach and tell the truth, but we see his compassion. Babylon was like a friend, and at this time, and it was not until 200 years later, amen, that things took place whenever the judgment finally hit the land. And so we understand tonight there's a few things we can pull out of that. First of all, the preachers, they have a command, which is to preach the truth. Amen. We still have that command in our day. I know this is Old Testament. Someone said to me today, they said, hey, have you watched that movie, Noah? I said, no, I haven't watched that movie. They said, oh, you ought to watch that movie. I said, why should I watch that movie? They said, well, because I think it's real close to the Bible. I said, you think so? Yeah, I think so. Said it's kind of dark in some areas, but you know, the Old Testament's dark anyway. I said, well, okay, if that's the way you see it. I don't see it that way. Amen. The Bible has, God has revealed His Word to His children. If you know the author, hallelujah, you'll understand the words. Amen. You don't understand it all at one time, and you know that. I've said that before. You know that, but God gives us understanding. And here He's doing the very same thing. He's given us some understanding. The prophet had to preach, and he had to preach the truth no matter how much it hurts or who it was to. Amen. That's good stuff right there. It's not always easy. But then we see also, not only did he have to preach the truth and tell it like it was and what was coming, but we also see that he had compassion. He didn't do it with hatred. He did it with compassion. And today, you and I still need to have some compassion. Amen. Even though people are foolish and they do stupid things and they won't hear us, they won't listen, they still need the Savior. Amen. And we need to have compassion upon them. I'm going some more with that. Just hold on. We're looking at the Word of God now. The Bible says in chapter 21, here in the book of Isaiah, verse number 5. The Bible says, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise ye princes, and anoint the shield. Now the warning was, prepare. The warning was, get ready. Judgment's coming. The enemy's coming. Isaiah in this day, 200 years before, is proclaiming, get ready. Prepare yourself. The enemy is going to come and he's going to attack. Get yourself ready. Amen? And so they didn't listen. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat and drink. And so what they were doing, instead of preparing themselves for battle, they was preparing themselves for carousing. We see not only the prophet's command and the prophet's compassion, but we find in verse 5 is the people's carousing. They were preparing the table. They were getting ready to eat and to drink and be merry instead of anointing the shield as they were commanded in the Word of God. Instead of getting ready to fight the enemy, to prepare yourself against the enemy, they was taking the Word of God, they was taking it lightly, as a lot of people do in our day. They was taking it lightly and they wasn't taking it serious. And they begin to carouse and to party and eat and drink and be merry and just have a good time. Although Isaiah the prophet was saying, judgment's coming. You better prepare. You better anoint the shield. Now that word, or that phrase, anoint the shield, meant that they would slick them down with some grease and oil so the arrows would slide off of them. Amen. There was some preparation that needed to be done. They need to prepare for war. You can't set
on the sideline and party and have a good time and expect the enemy not to be prepared when he comes for war. Amen? The enemy comes to attack, and if you're not prepared, he will simply wear you out. Amen? The Bible says that we have an enemy. Amen. That's the devil. He's on the war path. He's not sitting idly by. He's looking for those who are not prepared for the attack. And we see here they was not prepared for the attack. They was partying. They was having a good time, eating and drinking and being merry. Now, I want you to go with me, if you would, Luke chapter number 17, real quickly. I'm going to share something with you, and we'll come back to the book of Isaiah. Luke chapter 16, quickly now. Turn fast. Get there really fast, and I'll try to preach slow. How's that? Luke chapter 17, the Bible says, verse 26. Thank you very much. Luke chapter 17, verse 26, the Bible says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Talking about when Christ comes, the second coming, not the rapture, but in the second coming when He comes. "As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." What's the Bible? Verse 27. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." What we see here in this passage of Scripture is that Isaiah was proclaiming, prepare, get ready for the enemy. He's coming to destroy it. And just as it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, and all through the Bible, you'll find that God had sent them warning after warning after warning that judgment was coming, that the enemy was coming, and they would make light of it, and they would eat, and they'd drink, and they'd be merry, and they would not prepare for the enemy as he was coming in. But listen, it was proclaimed, it was told them that the enemy was coming. It's just like in our day. In the day now, the church's job, the pastor's job, the church's job is to proclaim judgment is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. The enemy's on the warpath. He's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy it. And it's our job, it's our duty to warn them and tell them. But what are they doing? The very same thing that they're doing here in the Word of God. The same thing they did in Noah's day. The same thing they did in Lot's day. They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, hey, they're having their time, they're carousing and just enjoying life like it's not going to happen. My friend, it's going to happen. Amen? It's going to happen. We see the prophet's command. We see the prophet's compassion. We see the people's carousing. Tells them, get ready, get ready, get ready. And they're not getting ready. "For thus hath the Lord said unto me," verse 6, "Go, said a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." Then the Bible goes on to say what he saw. And the watchman cries in verse number 8. He says, "My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I'm set in my ward whole nights." And he was just proclaiming, listen, I'm faithful in being in my watchtower, and I'm watching, and I'm looking, and I'm watching, and I'm looking. And thank God there was a few that would be prepared, amen. The watchman was there doing his job. Although Babylon wasn't ready for battle. They had not prepared their sword. They had not prepared their shields. They had not got serious with that. They had just desecrated, if you would, the Word of God. But here we see the watchman's he's on the wall, and he's watching, and he's looking. And he says, hey, listen, I'm faithful, I'm there, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And verse number 9, "And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods have broken unto the ground." Now I want to say this, all the idols that Babylon had, Babylon was set up with idols, idol worship, idolatry. That was all about the land worshiping idols. That was what they were doing. They'd worship the gold and the silver. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go to Daniel. I know where that's at, amen. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. Let me read something to you that'll be a help to you and help you understand, maybe help you understand and see what's going on. And see their attitude that they had and how serious God is. I want to say tonight, we serve a God that's a serious God. Amen. If God says it, you can write it down and believe it. Amen. Amen. If God says it, you better believe it. God's serious. When God dealing with His people or dealing with sinners, God's serious. It's serious business. And the Bible says it's a dangerous thing, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. God is serious when it comes to judgment. Now watch this, Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring, what's this now? The chapter number 5, Daniel, verse number 2. To bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. Now they took it from the temple now, alright? The Bible's plain and simple. Take it out of the temple in Jerusalem that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought, verse number 3, they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem. And the king and the princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised, watch this, the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. The idol worship. This is the idol worship of Babylon. The king Belshazzar is the king of Babylon. And he's desecrated the things of God. He's took the vessels, the gold and silver vessels away from the house of God. His father done that. And he has them brought to himself before his princes and his wives and all these people. And they take these items from the house of God and they begin to drink out of them and use them as though they're just another piece of glassware. Whatever. They use them to drink it up. And the Bible says they praise the God of gold and God of silver, the God of brass, the God of iron, God of wood, and of stone. And the same hour, verse number 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. So that the joints of his loins was loose and his knees smote one against another. You know what that means? That's biblical terminology right there. That his knees were knocking. Scared the mess out of him. Hey man, now listen, you don't take the things of God, you don't take them lightly, and you definitely don't take them and try to do things with them like what they were doing. Amen. It's serious. God's a serious God. The church is serious. The Bible's the Word of God. That's a serious thing. You don't mess with that. Amen. You don't mess with the things of God. So here, God's sending him a man's hand. And it scares the mess out of him. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers in verse number 7. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men. They could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians and the astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry or Jerusalem? I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have brought in before me. They should read this writing, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler of the kingdom. Watch Daniel now, verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. In other words, I don't want your gifts, boy. Let the gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride. He was disposed from the kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was like the wild asses. They fed him like grass, with grass, like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all of this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels, watch this now, they have brought the vessels of the house before thee. Those vessels we talked about in Isaiah that the king asked for. They brought those vessels, Daniel says, they brought those vessels in before thee. Thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and all those, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was part of the hand sent from him, and the writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mean, Tekel, Harshen. I think that's pretty close. Anyway, forgive me if it's not. This is an interpretation of the thing. Mean equals, or means, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, verse number 27, thou art weighted in the balances and are found wanting. Then verse number 28, pairs, however you want to say that. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. There you go. Who's going to destroy Babylon? The Medes and the Persians. There it is. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain about his neck, gold chain about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. You see that God's a serious God, amen? They make light of the things of God. They make light of the warnings that God had sent. Here's a prime example that God doesn't play games. God is serious, and it's a serious thing, amen, when God sends judgment and God sends warning, that we need to take seriously the things that God sends to us, amen? We have the preachers, we have the compassion of the prophets, amen, of the preachers in our day, but we also have so much carousing and so many people that just take it so lightly, and they make fun of those, that serve God. But there's coming a day, we all know that, there's coming a day, they'll get their judgment, amen? They'll get their just reward, but it's a sad thing that just like as Isaiah was looking at Babylon, which was a friendly nation, he looks and sees what's coming, and it literally breaks his heart, and it burdens him so bad, and that's why we had the burden in chapter 21. It's the burden of Babylon that's really broken him and brought him down because of what's coming, and they will not listen. They will not hear. Boy, that's just like a lot of folks in our day. They will not listen. They will not hear. I was talking to someone this past week. I was telling my wife, yeah, this evening before we come to church, I was talking to this lady. And listen, I'm telling you, this ignorance all around us. God said in His Word, I have you not be ignorant, brethren. Amen? And I have a problem with ignorance. Amen? I don't expect everybody to know what I know. I don't know everything, and I'm not saying that I do. But I do expect you to study the Word of God and know your history. Amen? Know why we're a Baptist, and that's why we have some books up here for some others that haven't been through the Baptist history yet. I want you to read it. I want you to know why you're Baptist. But this lady said to me, she said, I think as long as we do good, and as long as we're not mean people, and we know Jesus, we'll be all right. I said, really? Do you really think that? And she said, what kind of church do you pastor? And I said, I pastor Heritage Baptist Church of Randleman, North Carolina. You're welcome anytime, come and visit. And then she says, I don't think that God's going to look out over heaven on the day of judgment and just tell all the Baptists to come to heaven. Well, I don't think so neither. I don't think Baptists are the only ones going to heaven. Amen. But then she made this really stupid comment. She said that all religions come out of the Catholic Church. Hold the phone. Amen. The separate Baptists didn't come out of the Catholic Church. Amen. I'm not Catholic. Not one iota about me has anything to do with Catholic. Amen. I didn't come from that. My roots didn't come from that. Jesus didn't come from that. That's the very thing that he fought against while he was here on this earth. Amen. All those Pharisees and all those religious groups. Anyway, I get off of that. That just upsets me. I hate ignorance. Amen. I'm not part of that crowd. Amen. I didn't come from that. But she said, as long as we go to church somewhere, I guess that we'll all be okay. I said, No. You're not going to be okay if you go to the Catholic Church. She said, oh, they're just so nice and they're so reverent. They're dying and going to hell. I mean, that's just the plain simple facts. They're dying in their religion. They're hiding behind their religion, the cloak of religion, and they're going to hell. And they've got the world fooled because they look at that crowd and think what they're doing is good. When God said judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. What in the world do you need more than the Word of God? Hey man, that's good preaching right there. I'm trying not to get angry. I don't want to ever get angry, but it angers me because of people's ignorance and stupidity, and they look at me and tell me that I'm a Catholic and I'm going to be okay as long as I'm good. Honey, that's a lie from hell. Amen? That's straight from the gates of hell. That's the deception of the devil trying to destroy people, and he's dragging them to hell like that. Amen? And it upsets me. It ought to upset me. Amen? It ought to upset all of us. Amen? We've got a job to do. Let's proclaim the truth as Isaiah was doing. What was the proclamation? What was the last cry? What did they say? Babylon has fallen, has fallen. All the idols and all the good deeds and all the things they've done couldn't save Babylon. Every idol they had, nothing that they, all those gods of gold and gods of silver, gods of stone, gods of iron, none of that could stop the judgment of God. Babylon is fallen. It's fallen. Write this down real quickly. Let me give it to you. It ain't 9 o'clock yet. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse number 8. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse number 8. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 8. Revelation 14, verse 8. Also Revelation chapter 18, verse number 2. There's three other places you're going to find Babylon has fallen. Babylon is destroyed, and God destroys that nation and says it'll never rise again. But you go to Revelation and Jeremiah, and you'll find where Babylon has fallen. How can that be? Sounds like the Bible's contradicting itself. No, it's not. It's that idolatry system, that idolatrous worship that Babylon had. That same thing, we see that today in the American idol. Amen? And the idols of America, the idols of foreign nations and all. Everybody's got their idols. That same system of idol worship is what it's talking about in the book of Revelation when Babylon has fallen, fallen the final time. It's not talking about Babylon the nation, but it's talking about that idolatry worship. Amen? There's so many people worshiping so many other things than worshiping God. Babylon's fallen, Babylon's fallen. All the graven images of her gods he have broken to the ground. There's coming a day, amen, it's going to be all said and done. God's going to settle the score. Amen. That took place with Babylon. Babylon was destroyed, wiped off the face of the earth. Amen. Then we come down real quickly. I've got to hurry. In verse number 11, we see the burden of Duma. Or Duma is also known as Edom. He calleth me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? He was asking the question, what of the night? What do you see? What's going on? How much night is left? The judgment was come upon the land. Isaiah saw the judgment, saw the destruction. And the watchman in the watchtower said, watchman, what of the night? How much longer do we have in this judgment? How much longer is it going to be that we have to suffer through this judgment? And the watchman said, look this now, verse number 12. The watchman said, the morning cometh. Boy, that's shouting ground, amen? That'd be shouting ground, would it not? Can I run this little rabbit right quick right there? Hey, listen, judgment's coming to America. Judgment's coming to this world. But listen, morning's going to come. Morning's going to come. Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds and take us home to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. At the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when He takes us out of here, hallelujah, judgment's coming. You can mark her down. Amen. The Word of God said so. The tribulation period begins and judgment begins on this earth. The church is, hallelujah, taken out. We're in heaven. Amen. We're up there getting ready to take part in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're getting ready to receive our rewards at the Bema Seat judgment. We're away from the earth. But judgment's on the earth. I can just listen now. I can just hear them saying during the tribulation period, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? How much longer are we going to have to suffer in this tribulation? How much longer do we have in this trial, in this judgment that God has put on the earth? And the watchman says, morning cometh. Morning, Jesus is coming again. Amen. He's coming again. But He's coming a second time to sit down on the earth, put His foot down on the earth, and it's a total different story then. Amen? Amen? There's going to be some saved during the tribulation period. I believe that. I believe there's going to be people born and it's going to hear the gospel for the very first time. I believe they'll be saved in the tribulation period. I believe that that's taught through the Scriptures. The Gentile nations, the Jews, definitely be Jews saved. 144,000 going to be preaching the gospel. Amen? I understand that. But He said, what of the night? Morning cometh. Hey, morning's coming. Then notice what He says after that. Look with me. Morning cometh, also the night. Hey, there's going to be a little break. There's going to be a little relief in it. But night's still coming. There's more judgment. There's more oppression. There's more judgment, more tribulation coming. Now watch what He says. Watch your Bible. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return and come. Isaiah is basically just preaching the gospel. If you'll inquire of the Lord, if you'll seek His face, if you return from your wicked ways, and if you'll come to God in repentance, He'll save you from your sins. Amen? Listen, He's given the proclamation that judgment's coming, and there's an answer to it. Listen, it's not all doom and gloom and destruction. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, if you'll inquire in the Lord, if you'll call upon Him and turn from your wicked ways and repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll forgive you of your sins. There's hope. In the middle of all that destruction, there's hope. In the middle of the destruction that we're living in and the days we're living in, as wicked as it seems, as ungodly as it seems, there's still hope. I don't believe once the rapture takes place, those that's heard the gospel, those that's been in church and heard the gospel message, I don't believe those will have a second chance. I don't believe in the movie Second Chances. I don't believe that. God doesn't do that. God never says it anywhere in the Word of God that they're offered a second chance. I don't believe that. Whenever you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what sends an individual to hell. Is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood on Calvary. That sends people to hell. If you've heard that, if you've turned from that, rejected that, you will not have a second chance when Christ comes to take us home. Amen. That's just Bible. I believe that. But in the middle of all the devastation, in the middle of all the turmoil, there's hope. There's hope. He's dealing with the last one here real quickly. The burden, verse number 13, the burden upon Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall you lodge. The inhabitants of the land... A team had brought water unto him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. Verse 15, for they fled with swords and drawn swords and from the bent bow and the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of a hireling, and all the glory of cedar shall fail. The residue of the number of archers and the mighty men of the children of cedar shall be diminished. Watch this now. For the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it. There's nothing as sure and as certain as the Word of God. God said it, God spoke it, and that's what the final word was. For the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it. He warned them of judgment. He warned them to get themselves ready for war, get ready for the enemy, and accept the fact that the enemy was coming to prepare themselves for that. But they put that off. They didn't take Him seriously. and they feasted, as we talked about, as Brother Ted preached the last week, and it's talking about David was moving the cart, how they feasted and had a wonderful time, thought they was doing a good thing. Here God is sending them, He's sending them an announcement, a proclamation, if you would, that judgment's coming, prepared, the enemy's coming, you need to get ready, you need to be prepared, seek the Lord while He may be found, get your hearts right with God, and God will spare the land, God will deal with the enemy as they come in. They didn't listen. They wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hear the prophet, they wouldn't hear the cries of the prophet. And listen, the Bible says when God said it, God spoke it, you can mark her down. It's going to happen. And this happened. Babylon was destroyed. Babylon was wiped out, never more to be rise up again. We can see as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, it reminds us a lot of the duties of the church. As we look at Isaiah and his preaching, well, we got a message to proclaim, amen? There's a duty. And although people say, well, God's a loving God, and God just loves us all, as long as we go to church somewhere, that's all that really matters. Really? Don't be a fool. Don't be deceived, amen, by the devil. That's why it's so important for us to study the Word of God and know the Word of God so we can talk to people and share with them what thus saith the Word of God. Everybody's not going to listen. Everybody don't want to hear it. But that one that wants to hear it, that one that wants to listen, I need to have an answer for them that I can help them. Amen. Some having compassion, the book of Jude said, some having compassion, saving them, pulling them out of the fire. Some having compassion. Amen. Saving them with fear. Fear and trembling. It ought to scare us to death to know that we passed or crossed paths with someone within a day's or a week's time. We crossed paths with someone and that soul was going to hell. And we didn't try to help them. It ought to scare us. It ought to put fear in us. Amen. I wanted to talk to that lady this week as she was talking to me. I wanted so much. I wanted this rare back. I wanted this letter rip. I had my Bible out in the truck. I was about to go get it. Amen. I really wanted to just say, let me show you what the Bible says. Let me show you where the devil has deceived you and to believe in such a lie. But you know, some people, they believe a lie. And the Bible says in those days of judgment, there's going to be strong delusion. Whenever the rapture of the church is taking place and there's tribulation on the earth, there's going to be strong delusion. Because the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and he's going to explain things away. They're going to be deceived. And they're being deceived even now. It's going to be simple. The Antichrist ain't going to have a hard job. Because people are so ignorant, they don't want to know no better. It's our duty as a church. It's our responsibility to get the truth out. Proclaim the truth. Tell them. Listen. That's not right. That's not so. Go to sermonaudio.com. Listen to my pastor. Listen to the other preachers on the Brother Ted and others. Listen to the Word of God. God says in His Word, this is how it's going to be. Amen? I didn't get to say anything to that lady, and it bothered me all the rest of the day. It bothered me the next day. I didn't get to say anything to her. We got interrupted. She works in the office, and she had to sign some papers for me for all the work I'd done. And that's when the conversation fired up, started. But some other people, there's training bus drivers and all those drivers and trainers come in and just interrupted the whole show, and I just had to get out of the office because there wasn't room for everybody. But that just tore me up. Because I know she's being deceived by the devil and she thinks it's okay. Man, what a job we have. Amen. We'd have some compassion. We need to have some compassion. I don't want to see people die and go to hell. Amen. I don't want to see them go through the judgment. Judgment's coming. And it's serious. The enemy's coming and he's got his war clothes on. And it means business. Amen. That's in the judgment, during the tribulation, and all that takes place. But also there's the enemy that we face every day that's destroying people. That's the old sleuth of the devil. Amen. Flesh and the devil and the world, we have to fight every day. Listen, we need to tell people what thus saith the Word of God. Have compassion. Try to help them. Try to get them in church. Amen. And get them away from the enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege you've given us, Lord, tonight to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. I thank you, Lord, for all the things that we can...